Some of you have an amazing imagination. You have come up with some amazing things that might happen to Cuddles. Part two. I turned on the buzzsaw, the bandsaw. I chopped off the top and made it a convertible bus. I started moving it across. As it was going through, as the sawdust was coming up, as the yellow sawdust and then the black sawdust of the undercarriage right there, all of a sudden, and there was some hair, some red ooze. And immediately, as if everything slowed down, I grabbed the bus and I yanked it back. Unfortunately, that broke the custom bandsaw blade that cost more than the hamster and the bus combined. As my bandsaw is going out of control and I back up, I'm like, oh no, what's the worst that could happen? And I took it over to the vise and I set it in the vise. It was partially cut off and I ripped it back. And right there, that little tunnel that was sitting there, at the very top of that tunnel, all you could see was red. Took it over to the table saw and dumped it out. And I kind of looked at it. There was a little hair on this side, a lot of red on that side. And I was getting ready to put it out of its misery. And right as I was getting ready to just kind of, you know, boop him on the head, my wife walks into the garage. My wife comes in and she's like, what did you do? We had a little accident. She walks around and she looks at the table saw. She looks at the mass of stuff and she just, you know, it's like, whoa, wow, what are you going to do? I said, well, I was going to put him out. No, you can't do that. That's Hannah's hamster. I said, it was Hannah's hamster. I went to pick him up. And as I just kind of picked him up and just to kind of look him over, you know how hamsters, they've got those little whiskers out there and they're always moving their little nose around and the whiskers look around. All of a sudden that hamster kind of turned around and looked up at me. And as he looked up at me, there's only whiskers on one side. The bandsaw blade had caught him right behind the jaw right there and had started just giving him a really close shave. I mean, really close. And as it made its way across right there, there happens to be this thing sticking out for a hamster, and it cut off his ear, just shoop, gone, little hole on the side of his head right there. Right behind his ear, it started cutting into his skin, and there the skin, everything was showing from right behind by his neck all the way to his back leg. He wasn't bleeding immensely, but he wasn't doing very well. And Cindy's like, well, what are you going to do with him? I guess I can let Hannah decide. And so I go back inside. And I said, Hannah, we've got three options. I said, number one, I could just put him out of his misery. What do you mean? I said, well, he's not feeling very good right now. And I think that we should just put him out of his... What do you mean? Well, he would die. No! He's alive? Yes, kinda. He's alive, but I don't. He's not doing very well. Maybe option number two. Let's let him go underneath the house, and who knows? He'll live a great life underneath the house. Right there, it'll be wonderful. No. If he's alive, can I see him? Yes, you can see him, but it's not good. No, I'll take care of him. I'll do whatever. I just want to take care of him. And so I take her out there and she looks at him and she, Cuddles. And she takes him back to his cage and she sets him in his cage, which was a bad idea because all the sawdust stuck to the side of his skin right there. In fact, after about a half hour of trying to move the food next to him and move the water next to him, he was a little cranky. She had to put on her gloves and kind of try to work with him right there. And then every hour on the hour after that, Hannah would come running in, "Dad, Dad, he's alive!" Well into the night, "Dad, Dad, he's alive!" Early the next morning, "He's alive!" Like, I cannot believe this hamster. After about 2 days, Cuddles developed one of the largest body scabs I've ever seen. He couldn't hardly move. The water had to be set right next to him. You had to constantly pull sawdust out of his ear hole. He'd always get it caught in there, and I'm like, there's no way he's going to live. Ladies and gentlemen, 2 weeks later, Cuddles went to show and tell. As his body scab healed, the hair never grew back. He would look at you and the whiskers would start to grow back, but there was one ear here and one ear gone. Bald on this side. He didn't move real fast, but I never touched him again. One day I came home and the girls were playing with Cuddles in the ball, not the bus. They were playing with him in the ball, and they had renamed him Lucky Cuddles. I'm like, Lucky Cuddles. Why in the world would you name him Lucky Cuddles? And my second, very observant, she says, "Dad, we don't know what all happened in the garage. But we know it could have been worse." I kind of stepped back and I realized, you know what? They're right. As bad as it is for Cuddles right now, it could have been worse. Have you ever played that game? What's the worst that could happen? Have you ever played that game in your head, and maybe it's not a game, maybe it's a nightmare, as you're beginning to think of all the things that could happen? I know for some of the guys in this room, that's why you don't ask a girl out. Because you imagine all the things, the worst things that could happen. What is the worst that could happen? My grandma was probably one of the best at this. To this day, I don't put my arm out the window very much. And if I do, the first thing that comes to my mind is my grandma telling me, "Don't put your hand out the window. You put your hand out the window, we'll go by a car and we'll knock your hands off." You know, and as a little 4-year-old, I'm like, "No, keep your hands in." You know, and she had this imagination of all the worst things that could happen. What is the worst that could happen? I mean, if you just thought about it, what is the worst that could happen? And what would I, and how would I react to those things? Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm chapter 46. Psalm chapter 46. You know, if you're trying to think, okay, what's the worst that could happen? Maybe what's coming to your mind is Haiti. Maybe what's coming to your mind is a giant tsunami. Maybe you're trying to look back and you're like, okay, well, maybe it's an avalanche or a blizzard. Maybe it's a tornado. Maybe it's a cyclone. Maybe it's a hurricane. Maybe it has nothing to do with nature. Maybe it has to do with something that happens to you. Your health. Maybe you've got all these ideas of what the worst is that could happen. Well, in Psalm chapter 46, we see a listing that is almost beyond our imagination. It's almost beyond what we could do. But we'll take a moment and try to imagine some of these worst things happen. Psalm chapter 46, look at verse 2. "Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." Okay, that's just like a simple little sentence. But let's just try to imagine the mountains being moved into the sea. Okay, that's a serious... Okay, that's bad. Okay? There's just no doubt. I mean, you try to picture that whole town's being just destroyed as everything is just being dumped into the sea. Look at verse 3. "Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof." Okay, so we might be thinking, you know, on the ocean, a big storm, you know, and it's going back and forth. But this is saying, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. I mean, can you imagine a mountain kind of like a balloon? You know, and the waters within there, there goes the mountain, water. I mean, this is not good. Look at verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The heathen raged. Here's a bunch of people who are just mad. These are people, as we look down in verse 9, these are people with weapons. They're upset, they're raging, they're at war. What is the worst that could happen? Psalm 46, though, also describes how I should act in some of these times. So we might be having some things in our mind. We say, okay, this is the worst that could happen. This would be bad. Okay, here's my situation. Here's what's bad going on. In these verses, we see some very bad happening. But how do we act? How do we react in those things? Well, we take a look. There's three things here that we should do. First one, found in verse 2. Therefore, will not we fear. Okay, so we're not going to fear. One thing that we can do is not fear. There's another thing that we can do. We drop down to verse 8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. Another thing that we're able to do is behold the works of the Lord. Okay, so first thing that we're able to do not fear. Next thing we're going to do is look at what God has done. And we see a third thing, and this is probably the verse we most know here in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. There's the third thing that I get to do. So number one, I get to not fear. Number two, I get to see the works of the Lord. This is an action that I'm going to do. Number three, I'm going to just be still. Okay, literally, this has the idea of to cast down. This has the idea to let fall. This has the idea to hang down, to be relaxed. It's kind of, whew. Now, the only way that these three things are going to happen, do not fear, see the works of God, be still, is based on something that I know. Know God. These three things don't happen unless I know God. What do you mean? How do I not fear, see the works of God? What do you mean, be still, because I know God? Best way I can illustrate this is from a situation that happened several years ago. Tom is with me this time. He's recruiting for Ironwood. We worked with a youth group in Faith Baptist Church or Silver Valley, and that was our youth group thing. And we had set up this activity where all of the guys were going to go on this camping trip. Oh, we were excited about it. There's 11, 12 of us guys, Tom and I. We didn't tell anybody where we went. And we were just going way out in the desert. And out where we live, there's this place called Afton Canyon. In Afton Canyon, there's this really cool canyon called Spooky Canyon. Spooky Canyon is this canyon that as you go up, and it's a giant wash, but as you go up the canyon, suddenly the walls are so high that it almost becomes like a cave. And we had found this place in Spooky Canyon, right off at the very, very top where it starts to get really narrow. We'd found this little place that you could climb up like 8 feet and you could get inside of it. And there was room for like 11 sleeping bags. And it was just like a chimney just shot right up and probably 100 feet going straight up. And you could see a little teardrop way up there at the top. We're like, oh, this is perfect. This is an adventure. This is great. And so we're there and we're sleeping there underneath just a few stars that we could see up there. And we started telling stories. I've only told the voodoo bear twice in my life. That night I told that story. three of my guys were crying. And I'm like, oh, that was a bad idea, but it was fun. And the guys are like, it's not true. I said, guys, it's just a story. But I'll tell you something that is true. Have you heard about that guy who sits, the bum that sits on the railroad that goes through the canyon? He gets off. Have you heard about that? No. Tell us about that guy. So we tell them about that, you know, and they're like, this is scary. So we're telling one story after the other, and it's like 1 a.m. And we hear these vehicles go by. We're probably several hundred yards from our vehicle, way down the canyon, and we hear this vehicle go by. I'm like, 1 a.m, what is going on? And we're like, you know what that was? That was the deranged ranger. You know, and the guy's like, oh, no way. Oh yeah, he roams up and down Afton Canyon looking for people. And they're like, oh, this is scary. I said, oh, don't worry about it. And then all of a sudden we hear more vehicles. And all of a sudden, way down the canyon, we hear that they get out of a vehicle and we can hear, oh, yeah, rah, rah. We couldn't tell what they were saying. We just knew that they were yelling. And I kind of look at Tom and I'm like, I'm scared. And he's kind of looking back at me, oh, me too. I said, you think we ought to go down there? I'm scared for our vehicles. And Tom looks at me, he says, I'm scared for us. And we're like, well, what do you think it is? It's gotta be some drunk people, somebody out. I don't know who it is. And all of a sudden we hear them and they're all around our vehicle area and they're starting to move around. I'm like, oh, nobody knows where we're at. I know. What are we going to do? Let's just be quiet. So we tell everybody to be quiet. Shh, we don't know who that is. Are you pulling it? No, shut up. We don't know who that is. So we're all being quiet. We can start to hear their footsteps coming up the canyon. I just kind of look at Tom like, what's going to happen? He's looking at me. Oh. I said, you know what? I brought my gun. I had a little .22 pistol. I run back in my stuff and I grab my gun. The guys, big eyes, looking at the gun. Who is this? Shut up. Quiet. Okay. Everybody be quiet. They're coming up the canyon. They'd stopped yelling. We didn't hear any more yelling. And there's that little gap. We'd all come through this little gap and we were off the main thing. And I said, Tom, you stand right in the gap, right there. I'll be behind you with the gun. So we're all set to go, okay? And I mean, this is the most scared I have ever been in my entire life. Okay, so we're just sitting there, and Tom's like, whatever happens, don't let them through the gap. Yeah, that's what we'll do. Okay, so, I mean, there's a bunch of them. There's got to be 3, 4, 5, 6 maybe people walking up the canyon. And after a while, we're looking through the little gap, and I'm looking past Tom's head, and I can see the flashlight on the wall on the other side of the canyon. And I said, okay, any moment. And all of a sudden, one of the guys who had been sleeping wakes up. Oh, what's going on? 5 guys. Bam! Shut up! There's somebody out there. Well, he starts crying. I didn't do nothing! Shut up! We are totally scared. We're freaked out. These guys, there's somebody after us. They're coming after us. We have no idea. We're sitting there. The flashlight's right there. They stopped right by the thing. All they have to do is look up this way, but we're just being as quiet as we can. And all of a sudden, we hear this voice. If they should be anywhere, they should be here. And I recognize the voice. It's the voice of Miss Carol, one of our program directors. And immediately, I know that voice. And immediately, I'm like, Oh man. I was so scared. It's just Miss Carol. And we're like, we're here. We're right here. What had happened? Tom's wife had been pregnant with twins. Had an early delivery 6 weeks early. Tom had to go be with his wife. And as I sat there and I'm like, everything was so tense. You know what happened when I knew that voice? I relaxed. I was able to be still. As we look at this passage and it says, be still and know that I am God. You know what this verse is telling us? Look, You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be tensed up. You don't have to fear. Just be still. And you're sitting there saying, okay, no God. What does that mean? No God. That's like deep. How do I do that? There's several things in this passage that we can know about God very quickly. Three things. Number one, He is exalted above man and nature. Do we know this about our God? Verse 9, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Okay, so this is talking about an army. God has power over the heathen. Verse 10, Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The thing that I know about my God is that He will be exalted over man. He will be exalted over nature. That is the God that I know. Not only will He be exalted above man and nature, but secondly, look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So here I'm in my life and I'm like, wow, this is the worst that could happen. And God is right there. He's with us, a very present help in trouble. Do we go through our lives believing that God is with us? Look at verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Look at verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. So once we have the idea, okay, God is more powerful than any man. God is more powerful than nature. God will be exalted above these things. That God who is so powerful, He's with me. He's with me. And He's just not alongside me. The third thing, He's exalted above man and nature. He's with us. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our safe place. Look at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength. Look at verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Okay, so there's something that I need to know. I need to know God. What do I need to know about God? When I know that God will be exalted, when I know that God is with us, when I know that God is our refuge, He's our safe place, you know what the resulting action is? I'll be still. I'll relax. I'll let it just hang down, okay? I'm not going to fear. Even though the worst may be happening. God is with us. God is my refuge. That's what I know about God. Now, there's much more to know about God, but those three things right there are enough for us to just say, okay, it's not my problem. I'll trust God. I'll relax. I'm not going to worry about this. So what are you worried about? What do you fear? Every person in this room has a story, has something that's going on, that it's real easy. At night, as you lay in bed, just say, oh, I got to figure this out. You know, this is scary. Over the course of your lives, there's no doubt God is going to bring things into your life that say, wow, this is like the worst that could happen. And we're able to step back and say, I know God. I know that God is with us. You know, this morning, I want to take just a couple of moments for us to just quietly think about what it is that we're just consumed with, what it is that we fear, what it is that we're afraid of. Because we need to step back and say, God, I'm not going to fear. I know You. I know God. So think about it. Are you afraid of being alone? Are you afraid what people might think of you? You're sitting here and you're like, you know, I'm supposed to have a career somewhere along the way here. You kind of need money to eat. It's scary. It is. What is the worst that could happen? Do you know God? Do you know God? He is exalted above man and nature. He is with us. And He is our refuge. If you'll go through today knowing that about God, suddenly that will suddenly relax. And you will be still and know that He is God. Dear Lord, help us to know You. We pray these things in Your name. Amen.